Many of us remember when gray wolves were reintroduced to Idaho. If you can believe it, that was 23 years ago. This happened because in 1995, gray wolves were on the endangered species list. This was an effort to get those numbers back up, and it worked. In 2014, the state created the Idaho Wolf Control Depredation Board. This board is charged with contracting to kill wolves that attack livestock. To put this in perspective, federal authorities have so far responded to more than 110 different sheep and cattle ranches in the fiscal year of 2018 to confirm wolf livestock kills. And that's a record. As you might imagine, this has ranchers on edge because they say wolves are a very real threat. But critics say ranchers may be inflating those numbers. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this are Cameron Mulroney, Executive Vice President of the Idaho Cattle Association, and Suzanne Stone with Defenders of Wildlife, a national conservation advocacy group. Welcome to the program.
You.
Cameron, I'd like to start with you. How has the reintroduction of wolves affected ranchers here in Idaho? And I'm talking for the last two decades, basically, since this happened in 1995.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the reintroduction of wolves into the state of Idaho, it brought another predator species to our state. And there is, you know, effect of having those in our state. You know, in that time, over 400 ranchers have been affected. Or had some conflict with wolves. And, you know, it's a predator. The livestock species are prey species, so there is definitely an impact. It's hard to put a real number on it because when we look at a cattle operation, we want to know number of pounds weaned from cows exposed. And that cow has three jobs. One is to take care of herself, one is to take care of her calf, and one is to rebreed. And sometimes it's hard to put an economic number on those, some of those factors, maybe pounds lost on a calf due to stress or the fact that she didn't rebreed due to stress. And there's multiple factors that come into that, but the addition of wolves just put one more factor into the cattle industry and our operations.
And Suzanne, how does your organization play into this and the idea that, you know, this does affect livestock here in Idaho?
Certainly. But to put it into perspective, too, we have to talk about things like how many wolves are here in the state versus what else is going on. And so there's 2 million cattle in the state. We have about 500 wolves statewide, maybe 600 if we're lucky. And if you compare that with the number mountain lions, we have 3,000, black bears, we have 20,000, we have 50,000 coyotes. They all are involved and out there on the native, public lands, and they're all predators. And so wolves are a mix in that, but they're a pretty small factor if you compare that against what else is going on out there. My understanding is that disease and bad weather actually causes a lot more harm to the livestock industry than certainly wolves do. Wolves play a much lower predation role on livestock than the other predators, largely because there's so few of them. And our goal is really to help people learn to live with wolves on the landscape. So we provide ranchers with a lot of training. We do have equipment that we provide that's the non-lethal deterrent so they can proactively better protect their livestock, especially when they're out on public lands, because mm-hmm. these lands belong to all of us. And they're supposed to be there for the preservation of wildlife as well as for other interests.
So then why, when you talk about the numbers and you look mm-hmm. at other predators, you said even, what, mountain lions, 3,000 mountain lions versus maybe 500 to 600 wolves. Why then is there such a bigger conversation around wolves? And I'll ask both of you that.
Well, there always has been. I've been working with wolves in Idaho since for 30 years now. And the hysteria over wolves really has been probably based a lot on the fact that we grow up with really bad stories about wolves. You know, most of us have been exposed to Little Red Riding Hood, the Three Little Pigs. Wolves always are presented as the villain. We don't know that much about real wolves, and having to live with them on the landscape has been a challenge for us because we're so clouded with the just the fairy tales and the myths that surround them. But living with wolves on the landscape is really not a lot different than living with bears and mountain lions and all the other animals that call Idaho home.
And Cameron, what would you say to that?
I would say that, you know, all of these animals are truly predators that, you know, do have an effect on livestock. But wolves are different in the way that they hunt. You know, they are a pack animal, as are coyotes, but coyotes are much smaller. Cats and bears, statistically, bears are more scavengers, omnivorous. So wolves do have a separate effect. And one of the things that, you know, it does affect is that the relationship with those, with the livestock and their, you know, ability to hunt at night and come mm-hmm. in. We do have about 1.5% statistically in the Northwest of losses that are non-predatory. But the average cow herd has about a 3.5% death loss. So statistically speaking, that's about 2% from predators, many of them including wolves in the state of Idaho. But, you know, they are a factor. And the other thing is with the locations they're in, it seems like they continue to affect the same operations. You know, there are parts of the state that don't have wolves that still have predators.
But then there are other parts of the state that do tend to have most wolves in that area.
Yeah, the central part of the state, mm-hmm. You know, where there's timber and there's cover for those wolves. And also there's, you know, there's cattle there. There's public ground there, and we're all running on public ground, or a large number of cattle are. And a lot of those losses aren't even accounted for. You know, the numbers we have are the confirmed kills from mm-hmm. Fish and Wildlife Service. There's a large number of cattle that just don't come home in the fall from various reasons, but one of those is from predators.
I'm speaking with Cameron Mulroney, Executive Vice President of the Idaho Cattle Association, and Suzanne Stone, Senior Representative for the Northwest Program with Defenders of Wildlife. We're talking about wolves in Idaho and the issue with livestock. So in 2014, this board was put in place to basically contract to kill wolves. It is set to expire, I believe, next June, 2019. It had a 5-year run. If wolves are not such a huge impact, as you argue, Suzanne, why then did we put a board in place like this?
That's a good question. And we've always had wolves being killed by the agency Wildlife Services. But what changed about this bill is that suddenly the Idaho's taxpayers are paying for it directly rather than it going through our federal taxes. So normally the federal government pays for its own program. This is where the federal government has come to Idaho and said, we want your taxpayers paying for this program to kill wolves. And which is, you know, amazing to begin with, but beyond that, they also restricted it to just killing wolves when we know that there are so many things that can help better protect livestock. So if all you do is kill wolves, you're going to have this endless cycle of loss over and over and over again, wolves and cattle. And if we put these things into place that are the non-lethal deterrents, things that help better protect the livestock, and that includes having range riders out there, removing attractants that bring wolves in and other predators to livestock operations, making sure there's no dead or dying livestock out there that attract those predators in. There's a number of things we can do that are proven to keep more cattle, more sheep alive without having to kill wolves, which they belong on the public land, so we shouldn't be killing them, you know, for just being present out there.
So Cameron, what would you say to that from a rancher's perspective? Do these non-lethal deterrents work?
There are some that do work. Once an animal gets a, you know, a taste and you have a, you know, you have a cow there, you know, they're likely, their learned behavior, they're mm-hmm. likely to go back and continue that, you know. The Fish and Wildlife, or sorry, not the Fish, the Wildlife Services mm-hmm. program, there is some general fund money that goes in there, but also as producers, we pay a fee with our brand inspections and also with our brand renewal fees, along with our, you know, recreational partners in the hunting industry. We pay a fee associated with that to also go to this board. So those aren't strictly Idaho general funds. But, you know, the ranchers didn't ask to bring an extra predator to our state. And we understand that it's here. So what we ask is that we have the ability and the tools we need to manage those animals. And we want all tools to be in the toolbox to manage those animals. And at times, you know, lethal control is a tool that we need to be able to have as those animals have learned to depredate on livestock and basically to steal from our business as they please.
And Suzanne?
I would just say that unfortunately you know, they have restricted, the livestock industry has restricted itself using these funds because they have only allowed it to be used for non-lethal or for lethal control when we know that non-lethal measures can help avoid having these losses to begin with. And that's the one big thing with this bill is that by restricting it to just lethal, all we're doing is following the same failed method that has failed for decades now. We need to make sure that we have all tools, as he said, on the table. And they have limited it to just one tool that isn't working. So if we want to really truly protect livestock and we want to have wolves out there, as well as all the other native wild predators that we have, they're important to Idaho. We need to make sure that we have funding going toward the non-lethal and to be proactively working to resolve those problems before they occur.
So ultimately, what would both of you want to see happen then as we move forward, especially as we get to that June 2019 date? And Cameron, I'll start with you.
Well, I think as an industry, we want to make sure that we have the ability to manage these predators, you know, that, like I say, are stealing from our industry. You know, if they say 400 ranches have been affected and there's approximately 6,000 ranching people that report as ranchers in the state of Idaho, 7.5% of our industry has been affected by these animals. So if, you know, they were to levy a 7.5% tax on every industry in the state, as citizens, mm-hmm. we would have an issue with that. So we understand that wolves are here and they are part of our business that we have to deal with in the cattle industry. But we just ask that we have the ability to manage them and keep our businesses viable moving forward and impacting the state of Idaho in the positive manner that the cattle industry has historically.
And one of those options that your association wants is the ability for lethal measures.
Yes, and these animals that they take that measure are ones that are confirmed or in areas of confirmed depredation. You know, we're not advocating and we're not seeing where they're just going out into the wilderness area and, you know, they're not going out and eliminating wolves in those areas. It's where there's confirmed conflict is where these measures are taking place. But we do need all the tools on the table mm-hmm. in order to protect our businesses and our livelihood.
And Suzanne, what do you want to see happen moving forward?
I think we need to learn how to live with wolves. And that means that the cattle industry, as a guest on our public lands, as a industry that is subsidized by the American people and by Idahoans, needs to be able to use these tools that are out there to better protect their livestock so that it has less of an impact on our native wildlife and our native ecosystems themselves. I mean, these are fragile places that need to be protected, and Idaho is extremely lucky to have this kind of resource. We don't see these natural wonders elsewhere in the world. And so having livestock out there, you know, presents a challenge for the wildlife and the land that they're on. It's really about responsible management of livestock, and it needs to start with the non-lethal deterrence.
Well, I hope we can find a middle ground in this conversation, and I appreciate both of you coming in today and talking about this and giving us a broader perspective of the issue. My guest today, Cameron Mulroney, the Executive Vice President of the Idaho Cattle Association, and Suzanne Stone, the Senior Representative for the Northwest Program of Defenders of Wildlife. Thank you again for coming in, both of you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.